Father, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to receive from heaven. We thank you that you have a right word in due season to us, particularly any that are weary and are worried. We thank you, Father God, that you will encourage, you will enrich, you will empower, you will equip us with hope, help, and healing in and through your word. We thank you, Father, as we partake of communion today, that we will be restored and renewed in our strength and renewed in our status of a full covenant bought by and purchased through the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for transformational service today. And we thank you, Father God, for revelation, wisdom, clear, direct instructions today from your word and by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we give you all the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. We'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4:13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4:13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So we've been talking about the spirit of faith, and so today we're talking about faith as a speaker. Faith as a speaker. Everybody say it with me, faith as a speaker. Now, a big part of your faith life and faith walk has to do with the words coming out of your mouth. Because as we said in previous weeks, the spirit of faith has two main ingredients. And other ingredients, but two main ingredients. Believing, that's in your heart, your spirit, but also speaking. So you say, if I have a spirit of faith, I will be believing and speaking. That's how you maintain it. That's how you know you have it. You're believing and speaking. Now notice here, the Apostle Paul didn't just say, I have it, but we have it. He quotes from David in Psalms chapter 116, verse 10. I believe, therefore have I spoken, I was greatly in afflictions. In other words, he was going through some really rough, adversarial, hard, adverse times, but he was still believing and speaking in the midst of it. And if you have a connection handout or you've got offline or whatever, the spirit of faith will announce the outcome in the middle of adversity. One of the key indicators that you have spirit of faith is you will announce the outcome in the middle of adversity. But the spirit of faith is not for people who do not want to do nothing. The spirit of faith is for people who dare to believe God in the face of adversity, in the face of affliction, in the face of adversaries that are arrayed against you. The spirit of faith will announce the outcome, again, in the middle of the adversity. We see Paul here in Acts 27, verse 25, in the middle of a Category 5 hurricane storm, as we would call it today, called Euroclydon, he said, in the middle of a 14-day force fast. They were in the storm for 14 days. They threw all their non-essential stuff off board. They hadn't eaten for 14 days. Anybody ever gone 14 days without eating in the middle of a big problem? They were in a big, perilous predicament. And in the middle of that, God gave Paul a word through an angel who came and stood by Paul and said, this is what the Lord's saying to you. And what did he say? He said, therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. See, the spirit of faith will hold on and rehearse and announce the outcome in the middle of adversity. In the midst of a killer hurricane storm, Paul announced the outcome of the storm. Nobody's going to die. We're going to live. The ship is going to be torn to pieces, but we're all going to live. And hey, Paul, everybody on this boat, 270-something people are going to become children of God because of you. Come on now, supernatural increase, supernatural deliverance, supernatural protection through the worst kinds of storm you can think of imaginable. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 10. He says it in the big prefix of the verse that we just read, 2 Corinthians 4:13. Reading out of New Living Translation, he said, "We are pressed on every side by troubles." Now, most people will stop there because they don't have a spirit of faith. They have a spirit of fear or the spirit of facts. In other words, they're good at telling everybody what's going on that's wrong. But Paul says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, as though faith doesn't deny the facts. But what does faith do? Faith speaks the truth into the facts so that the facts will change. He said, but we're not crushed. He's under so tremendous pressure on every side by troubles. But he said, we're not crushed. He said, we are perplexed, but not driven to despair. So he's not running around saying, I don't know. What are we going to do? I don't know. He's not saying that, rehearsing the trauma or the drama. He is saying, we are perplexed, but not driven to despair. In other words, we're not going to quit because we don't know what happened and we don't know what to do. He said, we are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. He said, I got persecutors chasing me down, running me down. But he said, we're not abandoned by God. Amen. If you hear some folks today, they'll talk like God's forgot about us. He said, we are knocked down, and we're not destroyed. One translation says we're knocked down, but not knocked out. See, through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. See, in the midst of adversities, and afflictions, the spirit of faith declares the outlook and outcome with Bible-based optimism. It'd be something else if everybody in church would have Bible-based optimism about every problem, every pain, all the pressure, all the predicaments that we are going to experience in these last and evil days. The Bible says to us in Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. That's optimism. That's the spirit of faith talking. Yes, I'm going to be going through. Amen? Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, either you're just getting through or you're getting ready to go through something. Trouble on every side. Many afflictions. But the Lord's going to deliver me out of them all. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, as we shared the previous week, the spirit of faith will function and deploy as a servant, as a soldier, as a shield, as a stance. And so we're talking today about the spirit of faith as a speaker. Why? Proverbs 10:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. That means death and life are not in the power of God, not in the power of the devil, or not in the power of politics. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. And as a speaker and as a faith speaker, you will have to harness and properly handle the power of our tongue. Now let's look at James, who was the Lord's half-brother, share about the power of the tongue in James chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 through 12 in the King James Bible. It says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive greater condemnation. God has made all of us not a wandering generality, but a meaningful specific. There's something specific that you're good at. And one of the exhortations here is that be good at your words. Be good at discipline in your speech. He said, for many things we offend all, but if a man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man or a mature man, a grown-up spiritual man or woman, and able to bridle the whole body. Then, in other words, if you can learn to control your tongue and discipline, have discipline in your speech, you can control your body. Amen. For behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, and they do obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also ships, which though they be so great, are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue, a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, and it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Thus we bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So what is James telling us? By the Holy Spirit, if anybody can control your tongue, you can control your life. The word control comes from the Greek word that means to be led by a bit. And that's why he uses the illustration, bits in the horse's mouth. What controls your life, dear friends? Everybody say, my words. Your words. Your words control your life. And if you don't change your words, your life doesn't change. And so within these verses, James, we see three descriptive powers and abilities within our tongue. Number one, the power to direct. Most people are looking for direction today because they need to make decisions. Well, if you constantly say things like, I don't know, I don't know how, I can't, guess what? You'll be limiting and you'll be losing the ability to receive direction. Amen. Because your tongue is all over the place. He also shares with us the power to destroy. He uses direction, the bit in a horse's mouth, or the rudder on a ship that steers the boat in a certain course and direction. A bit in a horse's mouth is short term. See, that means you need direction today, tomorrow, this week. You need to make decisions today, tomorrow, this week, next month, next year. That's like a bit in a horse's mouth. That means there's some things you should be saying or not saying with great intentionality. Amen. With great focus. And then there's power. As he talks about the fire and the poisonous animal, the power to destroy. Now, friends, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So you have both things that you need to bring to life, but there's things that you need to put to death. Amen. What do you need to put to death or to destroy in your life? Well, there's some lots of things that we can say. Some of them start with the word S. The letter S, sin. We need to destroy sin. Amen. Sinful habits, self-sabotaging behaviors. We need to destroy Satan's works. Perhaps they're in our family and in our children or in our finances. We need to destroy Satan's works. We need to dismantle what Satan is trying to do in our sphere of influence. What's going to be the destroyer? What's the bazooka or the atomic bomb that comes from your life? It's your mouth. It's your words. You have the power of death and life in your tongue. There's some things we need to destroy. Just like Jesus cursed a fig tree that was non-productive, we need to curse some things that are non-productive or ungodly or unrighteous in our lives. Then he shows us the power of delight. Everybody say the power to direct, the power to destroy, and the power to delight. In other words, he said death and life in the power of the tongue. He said those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, many of us have tasted, perhaps in our lifetime, rotten or spoiled fruit. Now, many of us don't want to, we don't enjoy rotten or spoiled fruit. It tastes bitter. It tastes nasty. Isn't that right? And so if we want sweetness, if we want goodness in our lives, we need to be speaking goodness with our words. Somebody say glory to God. We need to speak what we're expecting to see and experience. So in other words, like the figs or the sweet water from a fountain or the figs from a fig tree, we can enjoy delight because of all the words coming out of our lips. If you want a sweet and good marriage, you need to be speaking words about marriage that are from marriage from heaven and not from the other place. Amen. If you want to enjoy your spouse, you need to be speaking words of life, of love. Come on now. Words that come from the Lord over your spouse. Don't call them stupid, crazy, fat, lazy, dumb, or you just old, or you ugly. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody say, glory to God. Don't shout. I'm preaching real good right now. You can beautify that home. You can beautify that marriage. You can beautify your life with the words of your mouth. Where's the problem, Pastor? It's 1 inch below your nose. Come on. What are the words coming out of your mouth? Because your faith should be working and functioning as a speaker. Someone says, well, I got the gift of gab. I just talk too much. I just run off the fly off the mouth. Well, you got to get discipline in your speech. Now, what God does is he blesses you and rewards you with more power because he loves us so much, he's not going to let us have a loaded atomic bomb and we don't know how to handle it. So a lot of times, he'll turn down the power just like you do on a microwave. You know, it automatically goes up to high or 10 power, but he'll put it way down to low defrost because he knows if you or turn loose with that weapon, you will shoot holes in your own boat. You will kill your husband or your wife. You will kill your kids. You will poke holes in your finances. Why? Because you're not disciplined in your speech. Amen. Why was Jesus given the Spirit without measure? Because he was disciplined in his speech. One of the reasons why. Because the Bible says, he said, Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see him do. In other words, he said, these works that I do shall you do also. So many of us have an assignment and an appointment to do the works of Jesus. Where do they start? They start right in your house. They start right in your family. If you can't use your faith in your family, then your faith is no good. That's your faith, your first faith project is in your family, in your house. But most of the times at the house, we got loose lips. And loose lips sink ships. We just say what we feel, and we say before we think. And we're destroying things we shouldn't be destroying. Hallelujah. Your voice is your address in the spirit. Your faith is voice activated. Amen. The speech center exercises dominion over your whole body. Y'all have heard me tell the story years ago, David Youngie Cho, Paul Youngie Cho. He's got several good names. But anyway, he's in Seoul, Korea, one of the largest churches in the world. And he was eating with some leading neurosurgeons of South Korea. And they were telling Dr. Cho, they said, "Dr. Cho, we have a new discovery in neurosurgery." He said, "What is it?" He said, "Well, the central nervous system has different centers." And they said, "The speech center is the main center of the central nervous system. In other words, it exercises dominion over the whole central nervous system, which controls and sends impulses to the body." And Dr. Cho, in his Korean dialect, you know, of course, said, "Oh, I know that for a long time." He said, "Who'd you learn it from? We just got this discovery." This is years ago, of course. He said, "Well, I heard it from Dr. James." He said, "Dr. James? Who's Dr. James?" He said, "Dr. James. James in the Bible, James chapter 3. He said, "Tongue, tiny member, control whole body." So guess what? This tiny member can control your whole life. Dad Hagen said it so profoundly years ago. If you're not happy with what you have or possess in life, you got to check out what you've been saying. Because what you say is what you get. And what you got is what you've been saying. See, our words, listen to me, our words make us or break us. Our words determine the boundaries of our lives. Our words can limit us or loose us free from limitation and lack. They can set you free from limitation and lack. You know, poverty begins with the mouth. You know, poverty thoughts will come from the devil a lot of times and tell you, "You're not going to have enough. You looks like you're going to be just barely not have enough to meet your needs and make me." And so what he's doing, he's keeping you from giving and he's keeping you from speaking the right words. Because when you wrap your faith around your offering, you're speaking over that money. When you speak over your offering, your faith gets into heaven, your finances gets into the ground you sow it into. Did y'all see what I'm talking about? So the devil will throw a poverty thought, a lack thought in your mind. You can't afford that. You remember you want to get those new shoes? You want to get that new device? And then you say, or you don't say, what God told you to say. You say, "I don't have." "Oh, we can't afford." I'm talking real good today. 1 Peter 3:10. For the scripture says, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days. How many of you want to enjoy life and see many happy days? He said, keep your tongue from speaking evil. Now, evil, friends, is what? Anything or anyone who would try to keep you from your God-intended purpose and plan for your life. And God's purpose for your life and my life is prosperity. God's purpose for yours and my life is abundance. God's purpose and plan for our life is salvation, is victory, is triumph, is blessing. That's God's purpose and plan for our life. He said, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Anything outside of the truth of God's word is a lie. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 2, let God be true and every man a liar. I don't care who they belong to, what party they belong to, what platform they stand for. Let God be true and every man a liar. If God said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll make it good. Come on now. Come on now. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Not one jot or tittle. So we have to stand on the truth of God's word. We have to speak the truth of God's word and stick with it. And don't change it. And don't cancel it. Matthew 20, 12, 37, Jesus said this, the words I say unto you, will, the words you say, excuse me, will either acquit you or condemn you. That means we're justified or condemned or sentenced by our own words. We have the choice to make. In other words, Jesus is telling us there are no inconsequential words. There are no inconsequential words. That means every idle word, everything we say will pay us or punish us. Every word we speak will either pay us or punish us. So you can't just flippantly, you got to take your words seriously. Praise the Lord. Job 22, verse 28. You also will declare a thing, and it will be established for you. So the light will shine on your ways. In other words, King James says decree a thing or declare a thing. What are you declaring? See, faith confessions create reality. That means you maintain your confession even when you're in a walled room like this, and it's every wall is defeat, destruction, and despair all around you. In the midst of that, you still maintain your confession of faith. And for some of us, we may have to cut the TV off and cut our phones off. Because we hear things and we say things because we don't have enough discipline in our speech. Now listen to what Dr. Jerry Saville said one time. We shared it before. He said, my word is at work, so be at peace. So that's a prophetic word from a prophet of God. The works of your adversary are about to cease. You know, his time is very short, and the devil knows his time is up, so he's certainly getting more active and aggressive in his works. But don't let that alarm you. We look up because our redemption is drawing nigh. We're getting ready to go out in grand style with the Lord. He said he thought he had you, but I've always come through. I'm turning things around just like I said I would do. It's not over until I've had my say. Not whoever says stuff. It's not over until God has his say. He said, that's why I'm called the truth and the way. I watch over my word. Excuse me, I gotta go to the next page. I watch over my word when you choose to stand on the word. And I will bring deliverance again and again. So never give up and refuse to give in. It's almost over. You're about to win. Somebody say, glory to God. So we don't give up. We get fed up. Zephaniah 3:9 says this. For then I will restore to the people a pure language. And see, when we take communion today, part of our consecration should be, Lord, restore to me the language of love, the language of faith, the language of honor. Amen. I want to have pure language coming out of my mouth. He said that they all may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him in one accord. So what has been your language lately? Faith or fear? Or frustration. The victory language in Christ or victim language in crisis? Are you sanctified and sanitized in your speech or sinful in your speech talking contradictory to the word and the will of God for your life. See, if it's not the will of God, if it goes against the word of God. And we shouldn't be speaking things outside of the will of God, which will be contradictory to the word of God. Now let's go to Mark 11, 22-24. Y'all getting something out of this today? Jesus said, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Everybody say, have faith in God. Who are you supposed to have faith in? Who are you supposed to have faith in? Not in me. Please don't put your faith in me. Put your faith in God. Have faith in God. Don't have faith in the party. Don't have faith in the politician. Don't have faith in some man-made platform. We thank God for him. Our responsibility is to pray for him. Whoever wins. Amen? But we have faith in who? Faith and trust in God. So surely I say unto you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says will be done, he shall have whatever he says. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. See, we're supposed to love people, but we're supposed to have faith in God. So we lay hold of God's faithfulness. How do we do that? We lay hold of it with our words and deeds of faith. So God, I know you're faithful. And you are too faithful to fail. That's right. He is too faithful to fail. Amen. And so Jesus says, the first thing Jesus said about the speaking part of faith, which is so critical and so important for us, that it will work for whosoever and it will obey you. Now, I want you to think about it in three C's. So you say, my faith as a speaker has three C's to engage in. Three C's, meaning the letter C, because, you know, I teach kind of literal. And so the first C, he's telling us in Mark 11, 23, to say to the mountain. So the first C is command the subject. Everybody say, command the subject. So he didn't say talk about the mountain. Now, mountain represents a big problem, something giant, something seemingly impossible. He said, speak, talk to it. In other words, faith as a speaker speaks to things. But how does it speak to things? It commands the subject. And if you take basic English, what? A subject is a person, place, or thing. Subject is a person, place, or thing. So we command the subject. Everybody say, command the subject. And then, of course, he gives us the second word, say, there. He said, believe those things which you say shall come to pass. So that's the second C. The second C is to confess about the situation. So your faith friends, particularly if you're married, husband and wife, or your family, you check on each other and keep each other in faith. Not pull each other down in fear. And you do that by maintaining your confession about the situation. You may be facing a financial situation, a family situation, a health situation. Come on now. A job, employment, business situation. And what are you saying about that situation? Well, confession means the Greek word homologeo or homologion, or one of those derivatives. It means to say the same thing. In other words, in this context, say the same thing the word says. We don't say what we feel. We don't say what we see. We say what the word says. In other words, we say what we want to see. We speak our expectations. So the second C is we confess about the situation. Even though you pray it, Mark 11, 24, you still have to say it. You have to say what the word says and maintain your confession and hold it and don't let it go. So if you pray, you know, God, I believe I received my healing and I thank you for it. According to 1 Peter 2, 24, by whose stripes I am healed. according to Matthew 8:17, himself took my infirmities and bare my sins. So I believe and receive it, my healing now. Now, a day later, if you're still in the process of healing, you don't change your confession. And so if the cousin, your Pookie, your Ray Ray, somebody in the neighborhood, how you doing? How you feeling? You don't say what you feel. You don't say what you see. You say what you believe. You speak your faith. Does everybody get this? So you command the subject, so there's things you need to talk to. You need to invoke the Romans 8:31 and 32 verse 2. What shall we say to these things? That's a subject. Could be famine. Could be fear. Could be family, adversary family members. What do we say to these things? If God be for me, who can be against me? If he freely gave me Jesus, he will freely give me anything and everything I need. Somebody say glory to God. Amen. Praise God. So we say about that situation, we speak, we command subject, we confess about the situation. We say what the word says. Amen. And then we cry to the Savior. Man, that's a missing element in the speaker part of faith. So everybody say it with me. Say, command the subject. Command the subject. Confess about the situation. And we cry to the Savior. Why would you cry to the Savior in times where you need mercy and times where you need justice? The Bible says the Lord's ear is not shut to his children who cry to him. It's not a cry of tears and crocodile fears. Or I should have said fears and crocodile tears. Okay. You got to love preaching sometimes. So sometimes people just cry out of fear. And despair and hope and hopelessness and agony. But we're not talking about crying out of fear and frustration. We're talking about crying out in faith. So what did blind Bartimaeus do? Blind Bartimaeus in the Bible, he cried out for mercy. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. There are times, friends, we need to cry. But that cry needs to be an outcry of faith. Not an outcry of fear. So we cry to the Savior because the Lord is our avenger. The Lord is our Lord. The Lord is our King. And we need him to intervene on our behalf to bring justice on the situation or to give us mercy because of the situation that we find ourselves in. Because sometimes we mess up. Anybody never messed up? Anybody never blown it? Okay, I'm in good company then. And so sometimes we make big mistakes. So we need to cry out to God for mercy. When we take communion, sometimes we should cry at that communion table when we take this element and say, Lord, have mercy on me. What did David cry after 1 year of messing up? Remember, he messed up big time. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He killed her husband. He married her unlawfully. He was a murderer, adulterer, did all kinds of bad stuff. And after a year, Nathan the prophet was the only one that had enough guts to come and tell him, the problem is you, King. You sinned. He went and fell before God. Read it, Psalms 51. He said, Lord, have mercy on me. He wasn't saying, Lord, you know, I made a mistake. He said, Lord, I need your mercy. I don't just need to clean up my mistakes. I need to repent right now. And sometimes at the table, we need to say, Lord, I haven't been walking in peace. I haven't been walking in love. I haven't been walking in honor. I have not been following your laws and obeying your laws of prosperity. I have not been obedient to what you called and created me to do. He said, Lord, have mercy. This is a table of mercy. Amen. And he said he come boldly to the what? Throne of grace. That word boldly means what? Freedom of speech. Fearless confidence. That's what the word boldly means. Freedom of speech. He said, Hebrews 4:16, therefore come boldly to the throne of what? Grace. To do what? To obtain mercy. Why do we need mercy? For our faults, our misdeeds, our missteps, our mistakes, our misconduct. To obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But you got to have your faith on as a speaker when you come to God. That means come to God with your mouth wide open. In faith, believing to receive his mercy and receive his grace to help us in a time of need. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, believing and speaking opens the door, as we said, to the supernatural. And there's some points in here I want to bring out. There's some what we call them authority actions. When we command the subject, when we confess about the situation, when we cry to the Savior, first of all, if we don't submit to an authority, you can't be in authority. Jesus, the Lord through James, the Holy Spirit, says to us to submit ourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from us. Well, we first got to submit to an authority before we're ever in authority. So in other words, if we're not under authority, we can't be in authority. Spiritual authority, I'm talking about spiritual authority. So when a believer doesn't take his or her authority, then the authority gets taken away. The believer that does not, if whatever you don't dominate, you will be dominated by it. How do we dominate things? We win the war of words. How do you dominate it? Faith-filled words dominate the laws of sin and death. So if you see the laws of sin and death operating in your house and your family members running off the reservation and going off the rails with sin and unrighteousness and ungodliness, guess who's in charge of dominating that stuff? If you just talk about it, you're adding to it. But you're supposed to talk to it. And you and I have to win the war of words. And don't just spend your time talking about it and posting about it and publicizing it. You shaming it is not going to relinquish your blame for it. Oh, this is good stuff. I'm preaching real good today. It's not come what we may, it's come what you say. That's what he's telling us. The authority of the believer is in Mark 11:23. It's you have what you say. Don't keep saying what you have what you say. Don't say it come what may. You know, no matter how this thing turns out in our nation, we still have the authority given to us by a higher authority, God. As a believer, Mark 11:23, it still works. It's we have what we say. Somebody say glory to God. And if we don't speak to the its in our lives, then the its will speak to you. So in other words, the mountains and the giants need to hear our voice. Why? Because your voice is your address in the spirit. And like Mark Hankins tells us all the time, never run at your giant with your mouth shut. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right, let's close this up here. We got to get a grip on our lip and don't let it slip. So you've got to trust God to help you with your tongue. Now, again, while we take communion, we need to all re-examine and reestablish our trust in God to help us harness the power of our tongue. Would you do that today? Would you do that online? Because every one of us has power in our words. Somebody say glory to God. Look at Proverbs 18, 6 and 7. A fool's lips will enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for blows. What calls for you to get blows in life? Your mouth. A fool's mouth is its destruction, and his lips are the snare to his soul. What's a snare to your soul? Your own lips. That means your mental and emotional well-being is dependent upon your mouth. The words coming out of your mouth. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. A man's stomach shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. In other words, satisfied. If you're not happy with what you've been saying and having in life, check out what you've been saying. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it shall eat its fruit. Look at Proverbs 15, 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours out forth foolishness. Pours forth foolishness. So Jesus said we have what we say, not say just what we have. Not just have what other people say. Now, we mentioned Dr. David Paul Youngie Cho, but he made a famous quote. He said, you can never understand faith without understanding the importance of your confession of faith. The unseen has the power to change the seen. Your words affect everything in your house. Your words affect everything in your house. Your life, your marriage, your children, your physical and mental health and well-being, your fortunes and finances, and your future. Proverbs 12:18. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. And in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, it tells us to come as we get ready to take communion today. If you turn there with me, please. Hebrews 4:14. Look at this. Everybody say faith as a speaker. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. In other words, confession of faith. We got to hold on to our confession of faith. We can't take days and weeks without saying anything of faith. But we're saying everything that we feel and that we fear. That's not good, and that's not God. We can't just say everything we feel and say everything we fear or we're frustrated about. We got to say what we believe. Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. In other words, confession of faith. Jesus Christ is in high priestly ministry over our words, and he takes our words and reinforces with his word and his will and his power as they line up with his word. Praise God. We got an important task, friends, to use our faith as a speaker. So would you use it the way God intended and purposed to use it today? Amen. And so as we take today's communion table, don't just glance at Jesus, but consider and study and put your attention on him as your Lord. He's your Redeemer. He's your righteousness. He's your provider. He's the author and developer of your faith. And so Jesus being the author and developer of your faith, he can take you and develop you in your and discipline you in your speech if you allow it. So take your elements out. And I want you to make a dedication prayer today, November the 8th, and say it between you and the Lord in your own heart and mind. Those of you online, get you some bread and water, get you some juice and crackers or whatever you're going to eat, and to take communion with us. And you talk to God about your life, but mainly talking to him about your language. Your words coming out of your mouth. And I want you to dedicate and consecrate your mouth and your speech to be a vessel and a voice for him, for God, for good, for the balance of this year, over into next year and the years as he tarries his coming. Father, we thank you for Jesus' life and his body and his blood. We thank you, Father God, that he gave his all and he gave his body, and his body was broken for us so that our lives don't have to be broken. And Father God, as we break the bread, we ask you, dear Father, and we dedicate and consecrate ourselves to you, that through the Lord Jesus Christ and in the name of Jesus Christ, that any brokenness in our speech, any brokenness from the words that we have spoken, have mercy on us. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to be disciplined and dedicated in our speech so that we can be the voice and we can be the vessel of victory in these last and evil days. In Jesus' name, break and eat. And take the cup. And say this with me. Say, God is on my side. For the blood has been applied. Every need shall be supplied. Nothing shall be denied. So I enter into rest. I know that I'm blessed. I'll pass every test. And I will get your very best, Lord. In Jesus' name. Say, the blood of Jesus has the power and is working in me, sanctifying me to the perfect will of God every day and in every way, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, relationally, socially, and financially. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that the blood of Jesus purges me from any and all defilements of the enemy and defilement and deceitfulness in my speech. Right now, I'm clean. I'm purged. I'm cleansed by the blood of Jesus, the blood of the new covenant. I receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, would you stand, please? Would you stand, please? And let's just thank God for what he's doing in our lives. Amen. Now, listen to me.